South Korean TV and banks paralyzed in disk wipe cyber blitz. Yes. Too early to blame network meltdown on Norks. Banks and TV stations in South Korea have been hit by debilitating attack on their computer networks. Three financial institutions, Shinhan, Nongyu Wave, and Jeju, and two insurance firms, as well as broadcaster KBC, NBC, and YTN, have either been partially or completely crippled by malware. The malware power. It appears, according to South Korean news agency Yonhap News, PCs on the network of TV stations crashed and couldn't be restarted. Some displayed an error message claiming that their boot records have been destroyed. As seen in news coverage, some reports suggest that images of skulls appeared on some computerium screens. The attack started at 1400 local time today. Teleprograms continue to be transmitted despite the problems. However, internet banking and cash machines operated by Shinhan Bank are not functioning. South Korean ISP LGU Plus has also been hit by the assault. Government computerium networks remain largely unaffected, according to an official from the National Computerium and Information Agency. However, some important websites, including KCNA and Air Koryo, were rendered temporarily inaccessible. The authorities are trying to identify the cause of the problem. Files named KBS.exe and NBC.exe, which began circulating last week, could be key components for distributing the disk-wiping malware that apparently brought down the networks. The situation remains confused, but already thoughts are turning towards who could have launched the attack. North Korea is emerging as a prime suspect. Yes, blame it on the North Koreans. But those people don't even have good computeriums. Only Vostok has good computer. Anyway, Christopher Boyd, senior threat researcher at Threat Track Security, commented, "There have been numerous serious attacks on South Korean networks and systems over the last few years, from recent newspaper site defacements and the most recent network attacks to the so-called 10 Days of Rain, distributed denial of services, attacks on multiple government sites in the United States versus Korea in 2011. While it's tempting to attribute these attacks to the North, given the current state of play in the region, many attacks are not so easy to pin down. The 10 Days of Rain used compromised machines inside South Korea to launch the DDoS attacks. Yes, well, the way it works is you send some M-bots and computers through emails, people open them, and then the hackers have complete root access to the system, yes, which enables them to flood. Yes, it's a fun procedure. Everyone should try. Some Koreans spread screen grabs of a social networking website on which a group calling itself the Whois team claimed responsibility for the outages. Some captured the crew's posts in a video uploaded to YouTube. However, LGU Plus Corporation, the ISP behind the social network, denied the existence of such pages in its website. The attack appears to be wide-ranging, coordinated and targeted at high-profile institutions in South Korea. The South Korean military cyber attack readiness level was raised from 3 to 4 on the 5-tier system. Defense Minister Kim Kwon-jin convened a meeting to discuss the attacks.
North Korea was blamed for two previous cyber attacks against its southern neighbor in 2009 and 2011 that targeted government agencies and banks. Last week, North Korea's official news agency, KCNA, blamed the US and its allies for computer hacking attacks against its networks. Political tensions on the Korean Peninsula have been running high for weeks since recent rocket and nuclear tests by the North Koreans. Well, what we can see here is that the North Koreans are not only blamed for having nuclear experiments, but they are also blaming hacking on the poor country. I'm convinced that these people don't even have good computoriums or even internets. And yes. Let's see now. Moving forward to the West. UK bloke collared at home by bank-raid Trojan probe cops. A 36-year-old from South Croydon, London, has been arrested by cops investigating allegations of fraud involving the bank account raiding Thailand Trojan. Yes, well, in this case, it's totally the redneck's fault for doing such things. The as yet unnamed man is suspected for conspiring to defraud and breaking drug laws. He was collared by officers from the Police Central E-Crime Unit and the Serious Organized Crime Agency. They seized the computoriums and digital media from the suspect's home. The gear will be examined by computer forensic experts. The cuffed bloke was taken to a South London cop shop for questioning on Tuesday. So beware, people, where you are making your bank accounts, because there are people like this who can fucking destroy your whole bank account and erase all the money. They can't actually steal the money. Well, they can through other techniques, but not through viruses such as this one. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Something else. Team Spy snooped on government's big biz undetected for 10 years. Computer security researchers say they have uncovered the decade-long espionage campaign against governments, businesses, and human rights activists in Eastern Europe and beyond. We're told the spying operation was partially pulled off by subverting TeamViewer, a legitimate tool for remotely controlling computers and holding meetings online, which is the way I am using right now to broadcast through the Dark City server. Yes, TeamViewer. The snoopers installed the software on victims' Windows PCs and modify the code's behavior with DLL hijacking to open a backdoor on the compromised machines. The successful tactic earned the campaign the nickname of Team Spy and kept the hacking crew under the radar for years. Oh, a lot of years. The researchers, who are based at the Laboratory of Cryptography and Systems Security, said the spying team also used custom-built malware in days gone by. Many of the compromised computers appear to belong to ordinary punters, but some were within high-profile organizations involved in industry, scientific research, or diplomacy. Fun. This looks like fun. Industry sucks. Scientific research, it's not really evolving at the rate it should be. It fucking sucks. And it's always used for military projects, which are secret and they do not reveal anything. And diplomacy, which at the moment is filled with bullshit. Okay, Hungary opened a joint investigation. Wait, this sounds very interesting. Hungary opened joint. Yes, that's a good thing to do. With the crisis lab and the Hungarian National Security Authority, after some of the country's government computers were infiltrated by Team Spy. Other targeted bodies, according to the researchers, include an unnamed EU state's embassy in Russia, an electronics company in the Middle East, multiple research and educational organizations in France and Belgium, an industrial manufacturer, and good old Russia. Yes. Well, you cannot hurt Russia anyway. There are many industrial manufacturers there, so it's not like they destabilize something. The cyber spies were interested in Microsoft Office documents and such files, PDF files, disk images, as well as files that potentially contain sensitive information, such as encryption keys, yeah, or passwords. Yes, it's important. Like, if you remember the last show, when I was talking about how hackers invaded Pakistan by stealing the passwords and encryption keys, which were mostly very retarded passwords with 1111 or Q or the first letters on the keyboard. That was so retarded. Okay. Most likely the same attackers are behind the attacks that span for the last 10 years, as there are clear connections between samples used in different years and campaigns. Interestingly, the attacks began to gain new momentum in the second half of 2012. Yeah, well, in the second half of 2012, there were a lot of anonymous operations all the way, because people can't really stand it anymore. So, yeah, the information area is the only field where we can actually do something. In all the other areas, it's so easy to just put the handcuffs on and just beat the shit out of you if you go in the street. I'm not saying it's not heroic, but information warfare is much more fun. The attackers use distinct tools for nearly every simple activity. This means that the group is most likely small and technically professional people carry out all types of activities, including strategic planning and executing the attacks. Well, you don't need a big group to do something of big scale. It's not like in a war situation where you need a lot of numbers and technology. You know, you can just have 10 individuals with awesome computer knowledge, not necessarily decent computers, and you can just make a revolution on your own. All right. Staff at security Biskar Speshski lab added that human rights activists have also been targeted in the campaign. The researchers said the attacks were siphoning off Apple EOS device history data from iTunes, detailed OS and BIOS information, as well as login victims, keystrokes, and screen-grabbing desktops on compromised devices. A blog post by Kaspersky contains tips on defeating computer espionage, such as blocking access from corporate machines to known command and control servers operated by hackers. Yes, well, Kaspersky is always bullshitting, because they want money, they want people to buy their bullshit, because people are not smart enough to defend their computers themselves. Yes, they make good antiviruses, but like every main commercial enterprise, they like to disinform people with all kinds of stuff. Team Spy's modus operandi is similar to the approach taken by the hackers behind the earlier Red October attack, although the two operations are not thought to be directly linked. The Team Spy crew usually roped in victims using so-called waterhole attacks based on planting malicious code on websites frequently visited by people working at targeted organizations. That attack code was also injected into advertising networks that ran across the targeted regions. Yes, I imagine a lot of these things put in place at pornographic websites, which you'll enjoy. A detailed technical analysis by Kaspersky Lab of Team Spy can be found I will not even post this link because it sucks. Okay. Now, for something more funny. Syrian activists hijack BBC weather feed. Yes. Syrian activists took over the BBC weather Twitter account on Thursday afternoon instead of getting the usual updates such as partially cloudy over the British Isles with a chance of rain. Later, the 60,000 followers of the BBC weather account on Twitter were confronted with a series of bizarre messages. These updates included hazardous fog warning from North Syria. Erdogan orders terrorists to launch chemical weapons at civilian areas. And Saudi weather station down to hit on collision with camel. Yes. A crew called the Syrian Electronic Army, a pro-Assad group, took credit for the hijack. The same group also claimed responsibility for the hijack of Jazeera's mobile news feed last year. Whether the legitimate owners of the BBC weather account were phished, had their password cracked, or made the mistake of using the same password in multiple places isn't currently clear. But what is obvious is that right now they have no control over their account. Ha! Writes Graham Cluley of Sophos in a blog post. The hack appears to have been motivated by a desire to push out propaganda to a wider audience, rather than an intention to spread malicious links or to promote diet scams. Two popular reasons for Twitter account hijacks, which are becoming increasingly frequent. Twitter's putative plans to introduce two-factor authentication, the best method for frustrating basic account hijack hacks, can't arrive too soon, though. Yes, it will probably never, never arrive. The thing is, these attacks on Twitter are very, very funny. And I encourage, or, like I said, this program is purely fictional. Everything you hear me say is purely your imagination. It is not my imagination. Yes. It's all your fault. Okay, so I encourage yes people to harass Twitter accounts. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Okay. NASA tightens security in response to insider threat. NASA has closed down its technical reports database and imposed tighter restriction on remote access to its computer systems, following the arrest of Chinese contractor on suspicion of intellectual property theft. NSA Administrator Charles Baudil outlined those and other security measures in March 20 testimony before a congressional subcommittee. Bolden said he had ordered a review of the access that foreign nationals from designated countries, including China, Iran, and North Korea, are given to NASA facilities, and a moratorium on providing new access to citizens of those countries. The agency's actions follow the March 16 arrest of Bo Xiang, a Chinese citizen, at Dulles Airport in, okay, Dulles Airport. Gotta get my American pronunciation there. In Washington, D.C., as we prepare to leave the United States, the FBI, in its application for an arrest warrant, said it was investigating violations of the Arms Export Control Act. NASA has suffered of other security breaches in recent months. Red stolen NASA laptop had unencrypted employee data. Huge mistake. Never unencrypt shit. the idea is to encrypt. Okay, Zhang worked as a contractor with the National Institute of Aerospace, a non-profit research organization at NASA's Langley Research Center. During a border stop of duels, Zhang allegedly said that he had in his possession a cell phone, memory stick, external hard drive, and a new computer. Computerium. During a subsequent search of Zhang's possessions, the agents found a second laptop, hard drive, and a SIM card, according to the arrest warrant. Zhang was arraigned March 19th in federal district court in Norfolk, VA, on a change of lying to federal agents. The contents of the confiscated electronic media have not been revealed. Of course, they never reveal. Representative Frank Wolf, chairman of the House Appropriations Subcommittee that funds the space agency, which probably has no idea what's hacking and stuff like that, said in a press conference that whistleblowers at NASA prompted the investigation. Wolf said Zhang was working on high-tech imaging technology that could be of potential interest to the Chinese military. Citing the arrest warrant, Wolf said Zhang had previously traveled to China with a NASA laptop that agents believed to have contained sensitive information. Wolf accused NASA of circumventing restrictions on the hiring of foreign nationals and said he had evidence that the NIA might employ other Chinese nationals under similar arrangements. The congressman called on NASA to audit all of its contractors that employ citizens of countries or organizations considered entities of concern. Right. Well, NASA is fucking serious, man. Like, people in my country are hacking this thing for years now. Like, every year, there are a couple of Romanians who successfully hack NASA. And after they hack NASA, they are arrested. And guess what? After that, NASA comes and hires them for security. Yes. So they don't actually care about the crime. They just care about the skill. And then they hire it. Yes. So they cry for nothing. They make it seem like hacking is bad, but then they come on and use those skills. You know, they use the same skills. They use the same hackers after defaming them on TV. They use them for security. Bastards. All right. Let's see now. The British government bolsters anti-cybercrime measures. The British state is introducing a new initiative to fight organized online crime. Faggots. Cybercrime Reduction Partnership, it's called. The program will provide a new forum in which UK law enforcement, the computer industry, and academia can regularly come together to tackle cybercrime more effectively. Security Minister at the Home Office, James Brokenshire, who is responsible for UK national security and counterterrorism policy, announced the move at a cybersecurity briefing hosted by the British Computerium Society, Chartered Institute for IT. Okay. And then he says, for too long, the public's perception of cybercrime has been a lone burden, hackers stealing money from bank accounts, said Brokenshire. But the reality is that cyber criminals are organized and global with a new breed of criminals selling off-the-shelf software to aid the gangs in exploiting the public. Yeah. Whatever. Thus, the partnership to be jointly led by Brokenshire and the fellow minister David Willetts, who heads the country's universities and science department. Their focus will be to help ensure the police and other law enforcement this this name here, this word, enforcement, law enforcement. It sounds so peaceful and protective, right? Law enforcement. Agencies can stay one step ahead of online criminals. That's what they say, but they are always behind. The UK government already has a plethora of such programs, and certainly the CCRP won't be the last. For example, in its first year of operation, London's Metropolitan Police Central e-crime unit reportedly prevented an estimated £538 million of harm to the public by organized e-criminals. That police unit is part of the cybersecurity strategy, which in turn is part of $650 million project set up in the 2010 Strategic Defense and Security Review, meant to strengthen the UK cyber capacity by 2014, which we talked about last week. According to Brokenshire, the CCRP will soon be joined by several additional initiatives: a cybersecurity information sharing partnership to better share information between industry and government, a national computer emergency response team, and the National Cybercrime Unit within the National Crime Agency, which will merge that e-crime unit with the Serious Organized Crime Agency unit, Cyberwing. According to Brokenshire, the intent of this multitude of cybersecurity initiatives is to deepen the country's ability to combat cybercrime. Then he says, I am confident we can bring these criminals to justice through greater awareness and action from the public and industry, and through continuing to work closely with our international partners, we can deliver a lasting and transformative impact on those criminals that seek to use the economy to harm the UK and its interests. Bullshit. A lot of bullshit. This man right here has a lot of bullshit to say to people. And they will continue to arrest 17-year-old kids for having some fun with the internet and calling it an act of terror. Terrorism, transformative impact on those criminals that seek to use the economy to harm the UK. The economy? Wasn't this about the computorium? Wasn't this about the hacking? What did this has to do with the economy? Whatever. The economy is a fake system, anyway, in which people believe, and through which the establishment puts its claws on the people. Fantastic news we have in this week. Alright. Meanwhile, Cypriot protesters wave banners during a demonstration against an EU bailout deal outside the parliament in the capital, Nicosia, on March 19th, 2013. And I have a picture. There are many pictures, actually. Yes, this is from RT.com. And I will post some stuff if I can, if it lets me. Yes, I will just copy this link and put it in the chat room. It's very easy to proceed. Okay, so you can see here. See, Aphrodite is angry. This is an interesting sign by a normal protester on the street. Of course, these bailouts are legal, but you know, these kind of things are not being done with the public's consent. They are only done by the governments, without asking the people. if it's good or bad. And these deals suck mostly because you have to pay a lot of debt back, and you will not have anything to pay with, and therefore you will suffer. Just like Greece, just like Romania, just like many countries in the West. Yes, even the West is in problems. Spain had about, I don't know, 30 strikes last year. The Spanish always are good at going outside and speaking for their own freedom, basically. And no one listens, that's the second part. But yeah, we gotta do our part and try to do something, you know? Can't just stand and be an ignorant faggot and say, "Oh, love and light, I will stay here and meditate for the benefit of the humankind in my room forever." I think that is a shitty mentality, you know? You won't realize anything by sitting around. Okay, good. So now, video from US prison shows inmate held down, pepper sprayed at close range. So why do people hack the CIA? Yes, they hack it because of shit like this and other malicious things. In what promises to be a major public relations headache for Maine's Department of Corrections, local media have released raw footage of a restrained inmate being subdued with pepper spray and then left unattended for over 20 minutes. The story and video first appeared in this week's Maine Sunday Telegram and were further reported on by the Portland Press Herald, with a shorter clip accompanied by some 2 hours of additional video. Yeah, see, this is what I call art, you know? And you take a bunch of illegalities in all formats and you play them together as an orchestra of truth. Yes, the raw footage depicts a Windham Correctional Center inmate Paul Schlossler being bound to a restraint chair flanked by five prison officials, three of them in riot gear. Yes, the man is in a fucking chair, unable to defend himself. The people are in fucking riot gear. The police, you can't even call them people. People is too important words to use for a bunch of idiots. Protesting, and subsequently being pepper sprayed in the face at close range by Captain Sean Felk. That's how it sounds. Being pepper sprayed in the face at close range by Captain Sean Welch. Yeah. Yes, the captain. Captain Sean. You know, it's like in those pirate movies, only this time the state is a pirate. Okay, so it is unclear how footage of the June 2012 even found its way into the hands of Maine media, though the state's Department of Corrections has already assigned an investigator to locate the source of the leak. Why? So you can arrest it and remove it from the picture? The thing is, it's just like anonymous, you know, they are everywhere, and probably this guy who took a picture was a member of the police department, you know, and wanted to expose how what shitty colleagues he has, you know. So he just used the internets to send the data to the main media, the local media, and that's how it got well known. It's good that we all take the courage to do that whenever we work and expose the corruption and the illegalities of our crippled system. Schulzer was reported to have received treatment for a self-inflicted wound to his arm and was on multiple medications for bipolar disorder and depression prior to the incident. Captain Welch was initially fired over his action by Scott Bornheimer, superintendent of the Media Minimum Security Facility, a decision that was overturned by Maine's Corrections Commissioner, who reduced the penalty to a 30-day suspension.
So there is some guy doing his job and trying to eliminate this guy, and then there is the one which is on top of him who says, no, you will not eliminate him. I will reduce his penalty to 30 days. And you will shut up, or I will fire you.
Yes. The fish is destroyed from the head. Meanwhile, Jody Garvey, a spokesperson for the state's prisoner advocacy coalition, criticized the department's focus on the source of the leak instead of concentrating its resources on preventing similar incidents from occurring in the future. Precisely. Trying to find out how the information got in the hands of a reporter shows a reluctance to have transparency. It reeks of government heavy handedness in oversight, she told the Press Herald. Garvey further recommended that the Department of Corrections look to create an advocacy group for prisoners' treatment. Okay, so what we have here is pretty normal in our society. You know, this stuff happens all the time throughout correctional facilities, and it is not being documented, which is why people like fucking Captain Welch don't give a fuck, and his superiors, some of them try to stop these actions, but the ones on top of them don't care, and they just like it in this way, because probably they're being told by a superior power to be an ignorant fuck and ignore everything. Okay, enough about this. Let's go to another place. U.S. Police state. George Orwell's 1984 happening before us. Yes, there is this guy, the martial artist Jeff Monson from the United States, who he recognized the shitty system. He recognized the fact that it's a police state. Okay, well, he is an anarchist, but not in the sense that anarchism is being understood today. You know, anarchism today is being understood as an evil thing that idiot teenagers do, you know, that have problems with their parents and start doing this kind of stuff. Well, anarchism has been developed in Spain. Anarchism is something that workers invented while they were being oppressed by the leadership of that time. They had excruciating hours of work. And so they made the movement, which was the anarchist worker movement, which actually was very successful in defeating its oppressors, but the temporary, you know. And that is the generation which are currently 90 years old, or 18, 19, something like that. This happened in the beginning of the 20s or something. That's the anarchist movement. They fought for their freedoms, and then after it was successful, many people were killed from that movement, you know, just like they are being shot upon today. They're Just like they are beating the people on the streets today with no mercy, you know. Only then it was even more no mercy. They just killed you on the spot. Okay. So this guy, which says it's an anarchist, and Jeff Monson, he does an interview with RT News. And he says that American policy is all about imperialism and money-making. Jeff Monson says we can't maintain ourselves. The United States has a military military bases in 125 to 130 countries right now worldwide, which is true. You know, there are even military bases in my country. You know, there are military bases all around Russia and all around the countries that surround Iran, which is why they conquered, they conquered Iraq, they will conquer Syria, they will, everything's being exploited, they put bases, and now obviously they will go into Iran sooner or later. It's just a matter of time. He says it's not about the government, it's not about the military. It's about keeping the spread of capitalism of American democracy, which means our corporations go and exploit as many people as they can. They keep talking about so many people getting out of poverty, but in fact, statistics show that the gap between the richest and the poorest has never been worse than what it is now. Even in the feudal age. I think he's right, you know. He's totally right. He says, we are an empire. Like I said, we are trying to spread American capitalism, American democracy, in quotes, throughout the world to let free trade of money or businesses and corporations infiltrate other countries, have new markets open up all over the world. I think it's all a part of a master plan. Countries with dictatorships, regimes are terrible to their people and jail their people. We sell them more arms than any other country of the world. I think it's around 78% of the world's military supplies, missiles, defense system, and so on that come from the United States. It's about money. And who gets the money? Meanwhile, they keep us entertained with other things, and we are just blind to what is going on around us in the world. And this guy is just, he's a fighter, you know, a professional fighter. Usually people have this impression that fighters are very unintellectual, that they are very stupid, and they just know how to fight. But I myself have a professional kickboxer, which got the bronze medal at the national level last year, and he's from my town, and we have great discussions all the time. You know, he's a very calculated person. The sport is a discipline. You know, even fighting sports are very complicated to do. They are not animalistic as people as well. It is a violent sport, but it's very complicated. It's like a dance. It's like, I don't know how to explain, but when I tried to learn kickboxing, it was really hard. You know, you have to do certain steps, you have to do certain maneuvers in certain ways. So it's all inside your mind. He says it really makes perfect logic. They make enemies of other people. You see the intolerance now for anyone of Muslim background, anyone who even looks like they are from the Middle East. Yeah, this is kind of true. They see people on the street and say, you're a Paki. You're a terrorist. Get out of my way. Who is responsible? He says, when people had their businesses foreclosed and taken away, everything they worked for their entire lives, their farms were closed, they were saying, who do we fight? They wanted to fight the police, but the police said, it's not us, we're just doing our job. We always blame the government, and of course they are to blame, but it's not a conspiracy. They are working for the corporations. They are working for the banks. Yeah, I think it's spot on. Like, you know, it makes sense. Corporations put, we already know this. It's in the alternative media place. This stuff is circulating all the time. We know that corporations have their members inside the government, which decide what is being voted upon in order to make good business, because that's what it is. The world is a big business. He says, for the first time, it showed that people can come together from all walks of life. There were doctors, there were unemployed people, teachers, students, all kinds of white-collar, blue-collar workers saying, we are the 99%, we are being exploited. Yeah, this is he's talking about the Occupy movement, which happened in all the countries last year. We all know this. But in some places, this Occupy movement was manipulated. You know, every good idea starts well and then it's being sold out. It's being taken over by groups of people who just want to lead. You know, it's the same with all revolutions, especially the revolution in my own country. We fought against the communists. We fought against our communist leader. But we didn't notice that groups of the same communists took over the revolution itself, and communists just took back the power without people realizing. And this time, those communists were slaves of whatever US and Europe dictated to them. You know, so completely lost independence, completely lost everything in the following years. Okay. Then he says, we have to educate ourselves. Being an anarchist gives me hope. What's my biggest fear in life? I think it would be dying without thinking I've contributed enough to something that I know was true. We know that killing someone is wrong. We know that helping someone who is in need is good. These are the absolutes. We don't need the governments to do the work. The government doesn't do the work. The corporations don't do the work. Banks don't do the work. We are the ones that get our hands dirty. Why then can't we make the decisions? Good point. I think we are the ones who put ourselves in this situation by believing in the system, by perpetuating it, by, you know, we all have a job, we all have the bank account, and by having the bank account, we help the banks exist further. I guess there is a need for some kind of order, because if you give freedom tomorrow to all, if you give freedom to everyone in the world tomorrow, and no more banks, no more nothing, you know, it will be total chaos. People will, you know, it's, let's not get in the delusion that we are actually capable of running ourselves. Some of us maybe are, you know, we have a good understanding about what is constructive and what is not, but the majority of people, which are dumbed down completely, they are incapable of taking constructive decisions. You might find yourself while you are building your little off-grid society with your friends that a group of 100 people will just pillage you and take everything you have and move forward. And, you know, it's like a zombie apocalypse scenario, only without the zombies, with people, you know. Many of these zombie movies, I think there are parallels to how humans are in real life. Like, for example, Dawn of the Dead in 1980s.
showed how when people turned into zombies, they went to the Walmarts, they went to the markets because they had the markets in their instinct. It was their main pleasure, to go to the markets and consume stuff. So after they turned into zombies, they went to these malls. And obviously the people who didn't turn were also searching for places where to get supplies, so they also turned down to go to these markets and found themselves surrounded by huge packs of these creatures. But of course, the movie in itself has a very simple plot, but I really like this idea of people being, because they have been all their life addicted to going to the big markets, to the big malls. Even after they died, they went there. Like, they didn't have any conscience, but their instinct told them to go to the malls. So I think that's what we have today. A mass of people who are addicted to consumerism, who don't really think for themselves, who have I don't know, a lot of people with negative thoughts that if we were to have freedom, these people would just trample on us, really, and destroy the good that is left. And in this actual shitty system that we have, at least some of us are allowed to exist. I mean, this system is better than what it was in the medieval era, or during the time of the Inquisition, where if you spoke like I'm speaking on this radio right now, I would have just been dragged and executed. So this doesn't happen nowadays. It happens at a much more deeper level. They don't care about simple things such as what I do right now. But in the medieval time, you didn't have any freedom at all. If there was a military operation, a military a war, you didn't have the choice either to enroll in the army or sit at home. You were obligated to go to the war and represent your nation and die for these corrupt leaders. Now you can just have the option of staying at home, which is why they're trying to use a lot of propaganda to make us go into wars, which is the only thing that kind of works. It doesn't really work. People have woken up to this, and fewer and fewer people go and enlist themselves into what they call professional army. But it's not really professional because most of the people that go there are literally very animalistic, shall we say, easy to control, easy to insert suggestions in their minds. Okay, so it's getting close to the end of my show. Actually, this is the end of my show. I hope you had a nice time and you enjoyed the news and the opinions that I have presented to you.